Turn, if you would, please, over to the book of Genesis and chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Not so long ago, I read the book, The Pursuit of God, by A.W. Tozer. And in it, I read a portion of Scripture which I had read many times before, but this time it jumped right off the page. That emphasis, along with Tozer's discussion of the text, is the motivation for today's message. It is my desire to speak to you about your walk with God. The title of my message is Abraham's Lesson on Absolute Surrender. Abraham's Lesson on Absolute Surrender. Tozer writes, and I quote, "There is within the human heart a tough, fibrous root of fallen life whose nature is to possess, always to possess. It covets things with a deep, fierce passion." He continues, "There is within each of us an enemy, which we tolerate at our peril. Jesus called it life and self, or as we would say, the self-life. To allow this enemy to live is in the end to lose everything. To repudiate it and give up all for Christ's sake is to lose nothing at last, but to preserve everything unto life eternal." End of quote. It is from this premise that I move forward today. Perhaps God will allow us to look within and to face our demons, as it were. And each of us as Christians need to arrive at a place of absolute surrender. And may God help us to do so. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And thank you for those who are here. And Lord, we believe that no one's here by accident. And we ask that you would just speak to our hearts, draw us to you, and meet every need. We pray for those that are here that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant unto them repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. May we who are saved worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, help us as we look into this passage today and that message which you've laid upon my heart, that God, your will would be accomplished and that you would bring about in us by your grace and by your mercy and by the work of your Spirit an absolute surrender, so that we would be as you desire us to be. We thank you for your grace toward us. We thank you for your love, and we love you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about Abraham's lesson on absolute surrender. And I would like to, first of all, review the passage, and then we will look at the lesson that is found here. First of all, notice in verse 1 through verse 2, you'll find a command. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." God gave him a command to offer up his son. Now the scripture says in verse 1 that God did tempt Abraham. This is not the tempt unto sin, but this is a trying. It is to prove. It is to test. It is to, if you were to say metals, to you try it out to see what type of metal it is. That's the word in the Hebrew here. Now, one of the commentators said this in regard to this temptation that God gave to Abraham. He tempted him, that is, he tried him to prove him and to know his faith in him, his fear of him, his love to him, and cheerful obedience to his commands, not in order to know these himself, which he was not ignorant of, but to make them known to others, and that Abraham's faith might be strengthened yet more and more, as in the issue it was. And so God wasn't testing Abraham to try to figure out what Abraham's going to do, and then he says, oh, I'm glad I found that out. But it was to prove to others and to prove to Abraham really who he was and what he was in his heart. This Hebrew word that means to tempt or to try, some old Hebrew scholars that define these things in relation to this context define it as this way. It is demanded. It is the demanding of the sacrifice of the only beloved son as a proof and attestation of his faith. The issue shows that God did not desire the sacrifice of Isaac by slaying and burning him upon the altar, but his complete surrender and a willingness to offer him up to God, even by death. And I believe that's absolutely the case. God knew that he had a lamb there in the thicket. God knew that he was going to provide that lamb, but he was put this test before Abraham. Abraham needed to learn something about absolute surrender. So God gave him a command, verse 1 through verse 2. Now, what would you expect faithful Abraham to do? Well, exactly that. Verse 3 through verse 6 is the compliance. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. God made a command, and Abraham says, this is exactly what I'll do. And so he's responding to that. He complies. Notice his confidence in verse 7 through verse 10. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. What we find here is a great confidence in Abraham's behalf. God made a command to him, a very strong, difficult command, and he complied to that, got to that point. He's ready to slay his son. And you say, why is this a matter of confidence? I invite you to turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And I want you to notice in this great hall of faith, the discussion that is made here about Abraham in regard to this very particular story. Talk about confidence. Faith that Abraham had. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Everything hinged upon Isaac. And by faith he took Isaac in response to God's command, laid him up, had the knife ready to slay him, but his confidence was this. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. What do you find? You find that his confidence was in God. He was willing to slay his son because he knew, he believed with all of his heart that this was the son of promise, and God always keeps his word, and that even if he should slay his son, God would raise him from the dead because God will not fail. That's the confidence that he had in the Lord. Go back to the text here in the book of Genesis chapter 22 as we just review this passage. We've seen the command of which he received, the compliance, and the confidence. Notice the commendation. He's ready to slay his son. In verse 11 it says, And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. You know, if you stop to think about it for just a second, aren't you glad Abraham was listening? God kept speaking to him, and he kept saying, Here am I, here am I, here am I. That's a good thing, isn't it? We need to be sensitive to the voice of God, to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and to the Word of God. When God speaks, we need to respond. Now, of course, I'm not talking literally. But God will move in our lives. We need to be sensitive to God. He says, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Did he really kill him? No, not in actuality, but he did in his heart. He figured God would raise him up. So verse 13 says, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What a tremendous story. Don't you love the story of Abraham offering up his son upon the altar? and that lamb that was there caught in the thicket as a sacrifice. That's just a tremendous passage. What we find here is that there's a marvelous picture of the precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham received Him in a figure, Hebrews said. And it is this, that God would give His only begotten Son. Yet we also see the blessing of substitution, that God would provide Himself a lamb, and that the one earmarked for death would be spared because of the death of another. So it is. We deserve death and hell and judgment. But we can find forgiveness with a just God because His righteous Son took the place of sinners as He died on the cross. What a tremendous story this is. But that's not my full intent. Go back to verse 2. And I want to notice then, we've seen the review. I want to notice the lesson revealed in this verse 2. And He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The scripture I have brought to your attention today has a backdoor message which directly applies to the very nature of my topic. And it is for this reason that I've guided you here. And now it is my intention to develop this line a little bit further and, of course, hopefully complete the idea of the message that Abraham learned about absolute surrender. Now, that issue here really is the matter of this, what we call the Spirit-filled life. And this concept has been discussed through the ages and also very recently under many other terms and in great detail. But it really all boils down to the fact that every Christian is to live a Christian life, yet it is not within us to do so. I'm to live for Christ, but I can't do that, can I? As Paul expressed in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Therefore, a Christian should not be content with living after the old nature or in living a mediocre Christian life or being status quo. It is possible to be Spirit-filled on a regular and consistent basis, although there are many factors which relate to this subject, there are two key elements which emerge. One, we are to put off the old nature, or the old man, and then two, the essential ingredient in doing so is faith. And so as I mentioned in the introduction, we need to arrive at a place of absolute surrender. That's where God brought Abraham. So permit me to share with you for just a few moments, and bear with me, some of the passages from Tozer's book and why it is that that jumped off the page. And I quote, in the story of Abraham and Isaac, we have a dramatic picture of the surrendered life. Abraham was old when Isaac was born, old enough indeed to have been his grandfather, and the child became at once the delight and idol of his heart. From that moment when he stooped to take the tiny form awkwardly in his arms, he was an eager love slave to his son. I think he's accurate on that. God said to him, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God let the suffering old man go through with it up to the point where he knew there would be no retreat, and then forbade him to lay a hand upon the boy. To the wondering patriarch, he now says in effect, it's all right, Abraham. I never intended that you should actually slay the lad. I only wanted to remove him from the temple of your heart, that I might reign unchallenged there. I wanted to correct the perversion that existed in your love. Now you may have the boy, sound and well. Now he was a man wholly surrendered, a man utterly obedient, a man who possessed nothing. He had everything, but he possessed nothing. There is the spiritual secret. How does that apply? Two more quotes, I'm finished with Tozer. Our gifts and talents should also be turned over to Him. They should be recognized for what they are, God's loan to us, and should never be considered in any sense our own. If we would indeed know God in growing intimacy, we must go this way of renunciation. And if we are set upon the pursuit of God, He will sooner or later bring us to this test. End of quote. What does all this mean? When I submit unto you, we've seen the story. What kind of lesson did Abraham learn? He learned a lesson on absolute surrender. Go back to verse 2. There are several points I want to bring to your attention. They're in the outline in the same detail. And I want you to just take these things and apply it to your own heart, to your own life, and just review them. Ask God to reveal to you. The first thing I want you to think about, first of all, in verse 2, is notice how select these things are. And He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac." It's particular, isn't it? It's specific. It's a select thing here. He had another son, didn't he? Ishmael. Ishmael wasn't the concern. He had lots of cattle, and he had servants, maid servants, and slaves. That wasn't the concern. The concern was Isaac. Very select God is here. And I ask you, what is it that God draws to your attention as I discuss these things? As we read those things about Tozer's comments on Abraham and his surrender, did God bring anything to your heart, anything to your mind of which you may love, like He loved Isaac? Anything that comes to your mind as I discuss these issues here today, has God given you some attention in your heart and your mind? Has He tapped you on the shoulders? He said, "Oh, listen, it's not your son, your only son. However, there are some things that are on the throne of your heart that are before me." Has He got your attention in this area? What particular thing or things is your Achilles heel? What is it that causes you to stumble? What is it that causes you to go away from God, to wander from Him? What is it that draws you away, that something that you'll put in the place of God, that you'll put over God, that you perhaps love more than God? What is that? Could be one or two or three or four things. Could be many things, couldn't it? I challenge you today that He had came to Abraham and He spoke very selectly. You take Isaac, thine only son Isaac, him. Is God speaking to you today? And I also want to make it very clear that it need not be a thing of sin. In other words, you might say, "Well, yeah, I've got this problem with sin, and I've got this little hindrance of sin over here." It doesn't have to be that, does it? Is Isaac a sin? Is there anything wrong with having children? Nothing wrong with having children. Nothing wrong with a spouse. Nothing wrong with employment. Nothing wrong with the place where you live. But it all depends on that position of those items. Do you love your children more than you love God? Are you willing to sacrifice your children for the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about going out and slaying them and taking their life. But say perhaps a son is being called into the ministry. Would you say, "Yes, I'm glad, and I know He'll call you away, and perhaps you're going to go to the mission field, and that will really break our hearts. We might never see you again, but we want you to do God's will." Where's your heart on that? You see, what about your spouse? Do you love your spouse more than you love God? I know this is a very serious issue, and I know these are very painful things to concern ourselves with. It was for Abraham. It is for us. So whatever it is in your life, has God brought anything to your mind? As He did to Abraham that day, take your son, your only son Isaac. Now I want you to notice, not only was it select, it was special. Because in verse 2 He says, "whom thou lovest." Those are the words that jumped off the page that day. I don't know how many times I've read this passage over and over and over again. But in relationship to the expression of Tozer and this matter of whom thou lovest, isn't that the real problem? Isn't that the trouble that we have with the old man, with the self-life? The natural man, however you want to define it, is that we will place a love on these things, and that love for those will surpass the love that we have for God. Just on that area, it doesn't mean we're horrible people. It doesn't mean that we're bad Christians. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham was a great man of faith.
And yet there was something that blocked his love for the Lord, and it was Isaac. And so he makes it very clear here. You have Isaac, whom thou lovest. And he's going to ask him to give him away. Now he does, doesn't he? Well, that's a grand thing. That's what God is asking of us. Is there anything? You just have to ask yourself. Is there anything that you love even above God? I know that hurts. But is there anything today? Could be your children. Could be your spouse. Could be money. Who knows? Could be health. Is there anything that you love more than God? That's the question that's being posed to Abraham. That's the choice that he has to make. Abraham, this is a son whom you love. Very, very special. But notice the third section of verse 2. What was he to do? He was to surrender that. Take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I will tell thee of. God is simply telling to Abraham, I know you love your son. He's been dear to you. I mean, good night. You were 100 when you had him, and that would be a special thing to anybody. And you know what? Where am I in the equation? And he says, I want you to sacrifice your son. God's calling Abraham to sacrifice his son. And like Abraham, perhaps God is calling you today. That thing which he has spoken to your heart, which he has moved by his spirit, by bringing to your attention today, that you may possibly love above your Lord. He's asking you to surrender it. He's calling upon you to give that up. Not that you have to do away with it, but rearrange the priority. Which is greater? Your love for God or your love for that? Whatever it might be. He wants it to be removed from the throne of your heart. He wants that idol taken away. What is it that you love? I believe God is calling upon every one of us to have an absolute surrender. And that's the lesson that he speaks to Abraham in this entire session. I know the other things apply, and that's great theology. I love those ideas of redemption and substitution, but we also learn here back door, absolute surrender. Am I willing to lay it down? Am I willing to give it up? Have you ever said to God, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. Are you willing? That doesn't mean he'll call you to the mission field. That doesn't mean that you have to go sacrifice your son on an altar. But are you willing? Are you willing? He's asked for a surrender. Now, if you'll skip to verse 12. Now, that really is the lesson, isn't it? Abraham, take your son whom you love and bring him to me. Give him up to me. Go to verse 12 and notice the sacrifice that he did make. And we understand the passage in between. But it says in verse 12, the sacrifice, For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. You have not withheld thy son. Did he actually slay him? Did he actually take his life? No, he did not. But in his heart he had. He was absolutely convinced that if he killed his son, that God would raise him from the dead. And he was as good as dead in the heart of Abraham. That's an absolute surrender, isn't it? God, you asked for him, he's yours. He's as good as dead to me. But he didn't lose him. He didn't give it up. He surrendered it. Doesn't Jesus teach that in the Gospels? That if you cling on to it, you're going to lose it. And if you give it away, if you give it to the Lord, you'll save it. You'll have it. Isn't that what he talks about in regard to the Christian life? Isn't that a challenge to every one of us? I never said it would be an easy thing to do. I don't think it was easy for Abraham. I don't know that I would have fulfilled that task for either of my children. I love them both. And if God said, take them and offer them up, I don't know that I could have. But he did. And so he made a sacrifice.
But the challenge comes to us today when God is calling us to absolute surrender. Would you sacrifice that which you love most in order to be absolute surrendered to God? Are you willing to give it up? It doesn't mean God will take it away, but are you willing for Him to take it away? Remember God telling Ezekiel, your wife's going to die. Don't weep over her. I'm going to take away the light of your eye. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. I'm sure it wasn't easy. But that's surrender, isn't it? That's surrender. Are you willing to sacrifice that thing which God brought to your attention? Whatever it was. When God spoke to you a moment ago and said, yeah, you know what, there really is a few things that you have that you love more than me. Are you willing to surrender that? Are you willing to yield that up? Have you done so? Would you do so? Are you willing to let go? The sacrifice was in verse 12. He says, I know that you've given up your son, your only son. You have not withheld him from me. God doesn't want us to withhold anything from him. Then verse 12, the middle part of that passage, is the submission. How is it that he can make a sacrifice like that? Only because he was submitted. Because he was surrendered. It says in that verse, I know that thou fearest God. That really is the foundation of surrender, isn't it? We fear God, we revere Him, we love Him. And God calls for an absolute surrender. Dare we hold on to these things? Well, it's a struggle, isn't it? Because if you're like me and if you're like the Apostle Paul, you can read over in the book of Romans chapter 7. Didn't he struggle with that kind of thing all of his life? Didn't he have a problem with the flesh? The things that he would do, he didn't do. And the things that he wouldn't do, those are the things that he did. You experienced that and I experienced that. Paul experienced that. And I know as I look back over my Christian experience and what God has done in my life, there have been times of great absolute surrender before God, just me and Him walking through the paradise, and it just seemed like that. And then other days I've done gone, walked off, and walked far away from Him. But aren't you glad God is merciful and God is gracious and He allows us to come back? You know that roller coaster experience I'm talking about? You ever been on the mountaintop and then in the valley and on the mountaintop and in the valley? Somewhere in between? I know you have. Because that's the experience of life, isn't it? Where are you at now? That's all I'm asking. So I'll surrender it today. And that's good. But I know full well you're like me and you'll probably pick it up again in a week or two. And you know what that means? That means you have to surrender it again. Give it back again. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. God just wants a submission. And if we're submitted to God, that's the foundation for surrender. Do I fear God? Do I love my Lord? Am I willing to give up? God has never tried me about my children or my wife. Am I willing? Am I willing? Well, only God knows that. But I believe with all my heart that God gives grace when you need it. I don't need dying grace because I'm not dying, at least not to my knowledge. But when I come to die, I believe God will give dying grace. And if God brings me to the place where I am tested, then He'll give grace. I believe that. Because God is a gracious God, a loving God, and He'll never leave me nor forsake me. But in my heart, am I willing? Am I willing? There are many people who have received phone calls in the night where their children were killed in car accidents, some other disastrous thing. Spouse is gone instantly. Am I willing? Can I take God's will, if that's His providence, to come upon me? Am I willing to submit to that, surrender to that, and be faithful to God through it all to give Him the glory? I won't know until I cross those bridges. But what I do know is I need to have a surrendered heart. An absolute surrender to Jesus Christ. And I'm willing
to give these things up because I love God. More yet, that He loves me. In these two verses, in verse 2, verse 12, especially verse 2, because of whom thou lovest, we find there was a select item that was brought to Abraham's attention. It was a very special thing. He loved him more than anything. And God asked him to surrender it. He surrendered it. He gave it up in sacrifice, and he did so because he was submitted to God. He feared the Lord. Let me give you a summary. I'm just going to enumerate these very quickly. Number one, what we need to do is we need to discern the will of God for our lives. Discern the will of God for our lives. God, what is it you want me to do? I've encouraged my children to do that over and over and over again. You need to be praying to God. God, what do you want out of my life? How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to be? What should I do with my life? You need to discern the will of God, and that behooves every one of us to be in the Word of God, to be seeking the Lord. Lord, what is your will for me? Number two, determine what belongs and what does not. As you seek to follow after the Lord, you have to determine, is what I have in my life appropriate or is it inappropriate? Is it something that hinders or something that encourages? If I love Isaac more than anything, then it's a hindrance. It doesn't belong there. If I love anything more than I love God, it really doesn't belong there. Doesn't mean it has to be taken away, but my priority upon it needs to be changed. And so we have to discern what the will of God is for our life. Then we need to determine what belongs and what does not. And of course, then it's a response of getting rid of those things that do not or make the changes. But then number three, we need to decide to make God a priority. One of the things I appreciate about my mother is that when God called me into the ministry, she was willing to let me go. She didn't put a lot of pressure on me to hang around, to stay at home, to be close. And when I said, I'm moving to Tennessee, she said, well, I'm going to miss you, but that's where you ought to be. Now, I appreciate that. I really do. Because parents have a unique way of putting pressure upon children to conform to what the parent wants. And what we need to do is have them conform to what God wants. And so if God should call my children into the ministry and call them to the mission field, and maybe I'll never see them the rest of my life, but I have to be willing to accept that. I have to be willing to say, God, they're your servants, not mine. And if they go to the mission field and die there, and I never see them, and I never see their children, I need to love you and to love you first. That's the ticket, isn't it? Isn't that the spiritual secret? We need to decide to make God a priority, and that isn't always easy, and we struggle with it. Keep taking it back all the time, but oh, may God just grant us the grace to love Him more than anything. And what that means then, number four, is we need to deliver the old man and any idols unto God. The old nature, the old way, any idols we've set up, we need to give them to God. You know, I mean, you take the example of money. I like money. I wish I had more of it. But you know what? Some people are very covetous. You know what the Bible says about covetousness? It's idolatry. It's idolatry. You know, there are some people, they can never darken the church door because they're always working. I'm not saying that you can't work. Well, I want you to work. You need to make a living. That's God's provision for you. But I'll tell you, if I had a job that always kept me from the things of God and from the house of God, I'm in the wrong job. I believe that. We need to make God a priority. And we need to make sure that there are no idols in our hearts. God just simply asked Abraham to offer up Isaac, whom he loved. And he did. This matter of the Spirit-filled life, if you can see your way through those first four points, it really boils down to the fifth point, and it is this: delight in the presence of Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Do you like being in the presence of the Lord? Practice the presence of God. There's an old Catholic that wrote a book, and they make a big deal out of that book, Father Lawrence. Now, I don't know so much about Father Lawrence, but some of the things he says in there was pretty good. We need to practice the presence of God. Christ is with us all the time. And in any decision that I make, I need to be surrendered to Him. Delight in the presence of Jesus Christ. So I've tried in these points to encourage you to deal with the old man, the natural man, things of the flesh.
Could be anything. Doesn't have to be sin. But anything that comes between us and God is an idol, and it's wrong. Remember there were two elements I said we need to deal with, the natural man, the old man. And the last thing is this, and I invite you to turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 2. What is the source then? The lesson is a matter of absolute surrender. How in the world can I live a surrendered life like that? I've already confessed to you my weakness of yielding up my children or giving up my wife. How in the world could I ever do that? The source is God. Remember Paul, as I mentioned to you, said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've asked you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Stay right there. But when you read the Hebrew passage, book of Hebrews chapter 11, about Abraham offering up Isaac, do you know how he did that? You say, well, he was submitted, he was surrendered. You've already talked about that. Yeah, but I didn't tell you how he actually accomplished that. Let me read to you just the beginning of that verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. The first two words, he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You know how you can live a consistent Christian walk, filled with the Holy Spirit, absolutely surrendered? It has to be by faith. You cannot determine that you're going to do it. That if you just knuckle down and work hard and get out the old knife and cut off these things, that you can do it. You can't do it. It's not within you to do it. It is Christ in you who is the hope of glory. It is Christ that can bring about that absolute surrender. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in your heart, that can fill you, that will give you the grace to accomplish these things, to bring you to a place to where you can say, yes, Lord, they're yours. They're not mine. Remember, he possessed everything, but he possessed nothing. It just wasn't his anymore. He gave it to Jesus Christ. And that's the place that I need to be on a regular basis. That's the place you need to be on a regular basis, is in a place of absolute surrender. And how do I do that? It must be by faith. Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 6, it says, and I was in Galatians, so that doesn't help me too much, but it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How were you saved? You were saved by faith, weren't you? How must you walk in Jesus Christ? You walk by faith. It isn't that Christ has given you the footing and He saved you and now it's up to you to work it out and you can do it all. You can't do it. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. What does the Scripture say? The just shall live by faith. And only by faith are you going to be able to revere God enough, to love God enough, to submit, to surrender, to sacrifice, only by faith. You see, everything's found in Jesus Christ, isn't it? He's the one that receives the honor and the glory. By faith, Abraham, by faith. God is desiring in us, every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, He desires in us absolute surrender. No matter what it is, God wants to be number one. By faith, you can lean upon Christ, commit it to Christ, surrender it to Him. You can be absolutely surrendered. You can be filled with the Spirit as He chooses to fill you. It's all by faith. Have you done that? Have you ever went before God and said, God, here I am. I'm yours. You did that when you were saved, weren't you? Didn't you simply in faith say, God, you died for me. You'll save me. You said you would. I promised. You promised me and I trust it. You'll never cast away those who come. Would you just deal with these issues as God speaks to your heart? And as you're able, by faith,
surrender them up one by one till you're absolutely surrendered before God. That's a challenge I give to you. That's a challenge I give to myself. We need to do that. Abraham's challenge, the absolute surrender. That's the lesson that he learned. And may God grant us that understanding and enlightenment and work of His Spirit, that we as His children would be the same. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are. You deal with God. God speaks to your heart. God's dealing with you in absolute surrender. God's brought something to your attention. You deal with that right there. Now, if you want somebody to pray with you, then I'll be here. You're welcome to come. We don't minimize that. But we just want you to mean business with God. And if you're lost today, right where you are, you can be saved. If you'll repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life. If you need help, you're welcome to come. Or you can stop us after the service. We just want you to be obedient to God and to do His will. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Blessed are our hearts. And God, overcome my frailty of speech, and by your Spirit, apply your truths, that every one of us who know you or are known of you would be absolutely surrendered to you. And God, we pray for any here today that is not saved, we ask you save them. We'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory because you're God and there is none other. You deserve the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?